to we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi, Saranam, Gacchami, Dutyampi, Tatyampi, Saha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dutyampi Tatyampi Saha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Sangam Saranam Gacchami, Dutyampi Tatyampi Saha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo prajna paramita hridaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the content of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibitive precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies or practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious in the bestowal of the teachings. Not to be angry. Not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana, in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day! Oh, happy blessed place! Oh, happy blessed time. Oh, happy blessed path. Oh, happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here, in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I nightly vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutiyampi tatiyampi saha. Again and yet again, may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. We are here in suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer so we can drop that and end suffering. So just a reminder that we record these Sunday morning groups and make them available to monthly donors. What should we look at this morning?
Rebecca. Well, I'll continue with my workshop on the breath.
The breath.
Yeah. So the last guidance I got was to, because my question was, how do we keep the attention on the breath and also on the field of awareness?
Mm-hmm.
And the question that I got to look at was, where does the breath originate from and where does it go to? Where does it come from and where does it go? Mm-hmm. Sort of how I... So that's what I've been looking at. And in light of yesterday's workshop on emptying your teacup,
mm-hmm.
what I saw was that the breath is sort of the container. It is the teacup, in a way, the empty teacup.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember what Ashwini, there was something that she said, definition, it means the holding of the space. If it was, I don't know exactly what word she was saying, but that's what the cup is. It just, any container,
mm-hmm.
it just is the, it's really about the space.
Mm-hmm.
And so it occurred to me as I was watching the breath that, you know, just how when you send the breath to a different part of the body, it feels like it expands that
mm-hmm.
part of the body.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it seems to do with consciousness or with
mm-hmm.
the, I don't know what word to put there, the field of awareness or something, but when I'm really with the breath, it feels like it just opens up this space
mm-hmm.
within the field of awareness.
Mm-hmm. So when you're really with the breath, it feels like it opens up a space within the field of awareness. You're seeing the similarity between the image of the empty teacup,
uh-huh.
that it is possibly a container
uh-huh.
that just holds this awareness. You're just looking at how attention and awareness interact.
Yeah.
And where does the breath begin and where does it end?
Yeah.
And seeing it as the empty teacup.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Because it feels like, so at the bottom of the exhalation when there's just that nothing,
mm-hmm.
and then the inhalation, so there's just this field of awareness. And then the breath comes into being as if there's this teacup, this big space, and then, you know, I don't know what that is, obviously, but that's what it feels like. And then it goes back at the, uh-huh. you know, at the end of the breath.
Uh-huh.
And that's just the process of that's just the whole process of love life, you know, is that it comes into being,
uh-huh.
and then it goes away, and then it comes into being, and it goes away,
uh-huh.
over and over.
It's that, yeah, it just comes into being moment by moment, and feeling the, how the breath is that.
Yeah.
You know, I like that. I like the play on words. It comes into being. It comes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, it actually, the breath is.
Uh-huh.
You know, and then it gives, it rises up and holds what you say, what's coming into form in this moment.
Yes, the word, as you're saying that, it reminds me of something I saw last week, too. And the word is what is animated. So when the breath comes into being, there is life animating this being, you know, mm-hmm. all, you know, whatever, all beings. And it's not that there's a someone. It's like, I don't know, it's like all these quirks and peculiarities to this particular life, you know,
mm-hmm.
raised in this part of the country, this gender, this socioeconomic, everything mm-hmm. that goes into making this particular being
mm-hmm.
sort of is in the mix. It's not consolidated into a being, mm-hmm. but it's sort of like it's dissolved into a mix, sort of like if you were dissolving, you know, salt and water, or sugar mm-hmm. and water, you know, it's there.
Mm-hmm.
But so it flavors like what words come out or how it's animating. Mm-hmm. But the animation itself is from
uh-huh.
and within the breath,
uh-huh.
which is from and within the field of awareness,
uh-huh.
which is dependent on and within this emptiness. I mean, it's just all kind of, I don't know if it's making any sense whatsoever, but it's been fun and interesting to sort of just play with it. Play with it.
Just play with it. Just have this spirit of inquiry around the breath, and just even stopping to look at, I mean, how often do we even look at that question? Where does it begin and where does it end?
Yeah.
You know, and just what the experience is when you know, direct the breath to various parts of the body, and feeling that expansion, feeling that arising, feeling that melting away.
Even that was a revelation the first mm-hmm. time I noticed that wow, you can actually, I mean, the very first time some yoga teacher introduced that concept of sending the breath to a different part of the body, it was like, whoa, that's powerful. And I didn't know you could do that, you know. And so we're like, well, what else is there that I didn't even know you could do, you know.
Really. Yes. I'm just reminded of the workshop yesterday. We were talking about beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
And it just feels like that is, you know, just flying into the face of a lot of different beliefs, like, you know, the breath, all kinds of beliefs that
uh-huh.
we might have
yep.
about the breath and about everything.
Yeah.
You know, and to just, like you said, have fun with it, explore it, see what our experience is with that.
Yeah. One last thing that's come up a couple of times in this conversation is in terms of beliefs, and now that you mentioned that, is, so I've been looking at it in terms of death, you know, too, and when what happens, you know, where does the breath go when we die, or how does it go, come and go, all that kind of stuff. And so I've been practicing with, at the end of each meditation, the bell, when the bell rings, just to say thank you, just to utter a thank you,
uh-huh.
instead of what I have been doing is sort of like a, no, not yet, no. You know, and I proceed to project that at the moment of death, I'm not going to be able to say, oh, no, not yet, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But practicing now being with, thank you, okay, thank you.
Yeah,
you know, at the moment the great bell rings for me, you know,
mm-hmm.
it'll be, hopefully, if I start training, if I started in time, maybe the training will stick, and it'll be,
mm-hmm.
thank you. That is the place that it goes. And so not leaving the breath, but maybe going with it, and just a spirit of gratitude for the animation that's happened in this life form.
Mm-hmm. Well, as you said, it seems very powerful. I mean, it's what we practice for, you know. Mm-hmm. We're practicing for that moment of letting go, and it happens moment by moment, as you were saying this morning. You know, there is that letting go, moment by moment by moment. And it's only this, you know, story in our head that makes us, you know, that leads to this belief that there's some kind of continuity.
Yes.
And to, you know, and to practice that, letting go and just saying thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the moment of death.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, in the Christian tradition, it's a common practice to pray for a happy death.
Mm-hmm.
But what this practice is showing me is how.
How?
What that really means.
Yeah. I just heard something Alan Watts recently. It was talking about death. He said, you know, it's just so crazy. But really what we should, when people, folks are dying, we should be saying, happy death!
Uh-huh.
Happy death! You know, and it's just so not, and people look at you like, what?
I know, it's quite countercultural.
It's quite countercultural.
But it's such a wonderful perspective.
Yeah, yeah, to just be in that place of gratitude and thank you. And
I'm working with the breath also, rather differently. Several months ago, someone asked the guide about when counting breaths, when do you count?
Mm-hmm.
And it's at the bottom of the exhalation. And I've always counted during the exhalation.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been counting at the bottom of the exhalation instead. An active counting, you know, it counts all the way through. Doesn't matter. But it, breath in, breath out. One, breath in, breath out. Two. And you think. Think from the reaction from this that I don't know what, but it's so hard. It's so hard to do, and it's just so artificial. And it's just so this and that, and you can't do it, and pointless, and just everything you can think of to count at the bottom instead of during the isolation.
Mm-hmm.
So that was just yet another example of how it will take anything, how it does just take anything and twist it into something.
Yeah, you can take anything and twist it into something, you know, and the guidance, you know, I think that's just how it takes guidance. And when something like counting at the end of the exhaltation, I think that's where the guidance is. And then twist that to just counting during the exhaltation, and then when one tries to actually put the guidance in place and count at the end of the exaltation, big. What you describe is just like this massive resistance.
Yeah.
You know, to why that's not going to work.
Yeah. And I noticed many years ago that according to it, I don't breathe right. And I really should breathe differently. And so just adding counting wrong to breathing wrong, to just being wrong, being wrong.
Yeah. Boy, really, just being in wrong. I mean, how fundamental can you get to tell the being that they can't even breathe right? You know, as from a voice that doesn't have a breath. and has no, you know, as far as I know, no experience of breathing. And until we say it out loud, you know, we said this over and over again, but until we say it inside out loud, we don't hear how ridiculous that is.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And so also I just, wow, how heroic to keep practicing that in the face of,
well, yeah. Yeah. Okay, heroic. I would have just took that word heroic and just said, oh no, not heroic. Okay, heroic. yeah. So, it's been kind of fun to watch it kick and scream and yell.
Yeah.
It's something so just kind of gentle.
Yeah.
And I kind of want the next thing to come along.
And also what arrived with when you said that, it's like, gosh, that just seems like the point of transformation when we can say it's kind of fun to watch it kick and scream.
Yeah.
And to really look for that place of where, what's going to be the next opportunity to just drive it up the pole, you know, to just make it just, you know, go nuts.
Well, last week I think I said something about when I, so many times when at the ends of retreats, I've had a list of things to stop doing and a list of things to start doing. And that last retreat, it just dropped in a rose pass through to just ignore that list of things to stop doing, which instantly cuts my chances of failure in half. It really thinks I'm doing something wrong there.
That you let that list go?
Yeah, that I let that list go, and I just added yoga and meditation and exercise and all those kinds of things, some of those kinds of things. But this list of bad things is still active. Boy, that is dangerous. Poor Judith. You are really fooling yourself, girl.
Wow. And one can only and where did that list of things to stop doing come from? You know?
It.
Who is just, you know.
Oh yeah. It says no, the list came from practice. It came from the guide, basically.
And if we've never heard the guide.
She has told you to stop doing. She's never told me anything ever. But that's how this.
Yeah.
That's just what it was.
Again, how easily that just slips in as I've been told to stop doing it, and
I can't. Oh, but see, that's the point. I never have. I haven't stopped doing anything that list for 35 years. It was the same list I started with. I still had it. At this point, I'm going to just keep it. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yes, I will keep these things that I shouldn't do. I'm doing them every day just as hard as I can. I'm going to add all this other stuff and let's just see what happens.
Let's just see what happens. I just have to ask, because, you know, if we did do that to not to do list every day as hard as we could, it would just be interesting to see how long they kept their interest, our interest.
Say that again.
Okay, so if we had that list, that not to do list, and we started at the top every day, and like just did it with 100% of our feet and great gusto, yes, you know, it would be interesting to watch how long those videos would exist.
Yeah. Well, I was looking at that's a good point. I was looking at that every day. It's kind of what triggered me a little bit last night. Yeah, what it's doing now is saying okay, we got this figured out. We drop that don't do list and we're doing this other list, which means that those are going to fall.
It's so insidious. It just can't get
us. Just take everything. Mm-hmm. Everything. Mm-hmm. Amon said, and it's real simple, but it was profound at the time I heard it. A few years ago, I said, it will come in any door.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
Everything. That is anything other than just breath in, breath out. Mm-hmm. Is part.
Wow. Anything that is just other than breath in and breath out is just fodder for the whole machine, because it will take anything, just anything, and use it.
It does take everything.
Mm-hmm. It does take everything. Yeah. And so we just come back to the breath, which it doesn't get the time and time.
Well, it, you know, so it takes the breath as we started the conversation and just builds a whole structure that's all the universe, you know, what's wrong with the breath and how this and that.
Yeah.
And just back.
And in that we get to see our whole life process, don't we? I mean, it's the breath that, and then it's everything. So as you said, we just take it, take whatever and use it.
Yeah, well, it, well, you know, as you're talking, it's when there's an I who is doing something, is going to achieve something, is going to get something right.
Yeah.
That's the open door.
That's the open door. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, I'm reminded of that. I mean, the word yesterday was whatever.
Yeah.
You know?
Was that what was written on that cup?
Yes. Jen was holding up.
It is. I mean, that's just kind of the intelligent response.
It is.
Whatever. But it's right here, right now.
Yeah.
We do engage.
Yeah. My breath is wrong. My life is wrong. My list is wrong. Whatever. You know?
That was good. I was seeing that. I love the path where you dropped in, whatever the other one was, a rose. Anyway, I was noticing that it is so true for me, because I've been practicing since the retreat, moving the attention. Two things. One is to gentleness.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was thinking, I was reflecting that, you know, over the years during Lent, it's moved from not doing things, giving up, so to speak, to now doing things. And I'll tell you, when I move my attention to gentleness, or when the breath, or yoga, or whatever it is that I've now added during Lent, so to speak, those things they're just sort of, you know, they're just kind of, they're not as devastating or something. I almost said they're kind of cute. But there's such a judgment when I have the two lists that this is wrong. But the truth is, it's what this person, you know, so for years, I mean, I could say to today, you know, my personality can get pretty charged. And I can get pretty enthusiastic. And I, with particularly with my kids, well, let's just say with my kids and Andrew. And I could put that on the list. Okay, you know, I'm not going to you know, or I'm going to wake up and I'm not going to, but what I noticed was, so last week, we'll just go with after the retreat. So, I was talking about this sashin thing, how I'm suggesting. So last week, every morning, I got up at like 4:50, and I sat WhatsApp. And then I did my regular other things I do, which is I have some books I read out of, and I say some prayers, and I going through the day. And what I noticed was that by definition of doing that, it wasn't that I was tired, right? So I figured what happened was I was too tired to get into an argument. I'm not sure. But what I noticed was that when I had my attention elsewhere, and it's not that those meditations were blissful, you know, it's dark and I'm like stumbling around and, really tired, and then, I'm doing my sitting, I'm probably kind of nodding and going into the day and, returning to the breath. But the willingness was what I held on to. This is a sincere person. And when I could see that about myself, I had this really powerful experience with the people in my family. So they would just get their old, I was driving my daughter and watching the thing. She's taking like a college prep class. And we have to get up really early and go to Sacramento every weekend for a month, both days. And so, I'm not good at this anyway, Mom, and I'm not going to be on this team, and I missed this. She's just in that thing. And instead of sort of what I usually do, which is sort of cheerlead, or I might reflect and listen for a minute, but it always ends with a general boost at the end, I just sort of observed and just watched and didn't like the weather. I knew it was going to pass. I didn't have to tell her it was going to pass. That's really not that helpful. And it might not, but it was that thing of, this is who she is.
Yeah.
Wow. This is who she is right now in this moment. And can I just be with that? But really with that from a place of kindness. And really, there's nothing wrong. And so when June was sharing about the moving the attention to the just doing a few things new to the list or whatever that are going to be self-care and kind, that might be like, I still might wait. I still had some moments last week but there was a lot of mercy, the year of mercy, Pope Francis, the year of mercy. There was a lot of mercy and gentleness with Susan. In just getting that, when I sit, walk, sit, and stumble around, I didn't do it perfect, I was still, all right, you gotta do this, get up, but there was a sense of, well, maybe, I remember Sherry saying that one time, maybe that's not wrong. Maybe for years I believed that those things on my let go of list are wrong, but maybe they're not.
Yeah.
But I don't ever entertain the idea unless I'm doing these other things. Mm-hmm. Unless I'm not focused on right and wrong and good and bad. Mm-hmm. Because I can relate with the breathing wrong. I mean, I certainly, that's not quite, wait a minute, let's just move to willingness. And I really like the teacup emptying thing. I only got to watch 2 hours of the workshop, so hopefully it's taped or something. But I also go back to that other retreat we did where we had that exercise. I don't know what it was, but it was emptying the teacup. So I'm going to have to see in the teacup. But all I have to do is, empty. Oh, there comes that full of opinions and righteousness and self-hatred. Oh, there it comes again. Okay, it's beating me up again. Can't do anything right. Well, that's what's on my schedule. Empty that. Do this. It's kind of a relief. So, it's helpful to... It's helpful to get one more time at one more level through these variety of tools that there really isn't anything wrong. I'm not doing yoga so that my posture is better.
Yeah.
I'm doing yoga because it's on the schedule. It's the next thing to do is take care of me.
Yeah.
And I'm not sitting so I'm enlightened.
Yeah.
I'm just sitting because it's what the people I trust tell me to do. And if the byproduct is I get to feel calm one moment, great. But I'm not what I know ego wanted to do because I had a calmer. The truth is I had a calmer week. So it wanted to find what caused that. But the good news is I was doing a lot of things. So it wasn't just at walk sitting. I was taking my vitamins, and I was exercising, and I was, you know, journaling. You know, so it couldn't hold on to anything to say that's it. Now, I still what my schedule is going to be next week because it felt better. But it would be even if I don't, you know, it would be it. That's going to be my schedule for a while.
Okay, yeah.
Even if I don't feel better, because I want to learn, I want to pay attention more closely. And these habits, I think, are going to build that muscle.
Well, there, it sounds like there are things that you've identified that really point you or put the attention on what's important in life. And it just starts the day out with, you know, this is what's really important to me. And you're seeing out of that focus of attention on what's important to you, there's just more space for everyone else to be in what's important to them, and without having, you know, with this feeling of there's nothing wrong. There's nothing I need to fix with these folks. And I think what you were saying with your daughter was a beautiful example of emptying the teacup. You know, to just sit with her and to, you know, to not have your teacup filled with all kinds of opinions about, you know.
It was filled with them.
Well, I mean, you know, not to dump them on her.
And then it was fascinating. It reminded me, you know, myself, of when we do this meditation, as I stayed with it, okay, then she goes into the class, and I'm watching the workshop and doing my things, and she comes out of the class, and, you know, she's got to step in. You know, the day's moved on for both of us. Yeah. It's moved on for her. I didn't have to move it on for her, which is what I always say. Okay, it's my responsibility with everybody, including Susan. But really, no, all I have to do is do the things on the list, the to-do list, or, I mean, you know, the taking care of list or whatever.
Well, two things. I just heard, I was just listening to something where, it was about, we've all witnessed the guide, you know, in any situation, just bring her full attention to what's there, you know, with no thing about small or big, or this person is deserving, or that person is, you know, to just be present in that, you know, in that moment. That's it.
And what I noticed was that when I did it, as I was present in the moment, I was not only present with her, I was present with me.
Yes,
and that exactly. And that habit, and that, you know, that habit to say something, or that desire to help, or you know, there was compassion for both.
Yeah.
It wasn't, you know, what I intended to do is, okay, this is a perfect opportunity for me to have compassion for her. But then ego has taken it. But if I just, when I just moved to, okay, the breath, and not saying anything, there was, wow, compassion for her, for me, for him, you know, there was like this, there was just deep.
Would you say there was just compassion?
There was just compassion. And I'll tell you, I haven't seen that before, that often when I takes over compassion, I don't get it.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's doing it.
It's an
for
I
a purpose
doing.
It's I. Okay, I'm going to bring compassion to the people I love.
Yeah.
And it doesn't. It's a way I read myself, and I hadn't seen that before. And this was different. There was, you know, I said that word of mercy, but Pope Francis is using it for Catholics this year. You know, it's the year of mercy. And what I like about it is, for all of you, for me, you know, that wow. That gentleness and mercy and compassion for all.
Yeah.
And ego doesn't like that. Ego likes the bright ideas of compassion and mercy as long as it can be used to take it away from me.
As long as it can be used to separate.
To separate.
And create.
And create an I, you know.
Yeah.
Make me believe that I'm an I that now has to give it to somebody. And so I have to leave myself in order to be the right person, the compassionate person, or whatever. But no, I just gently move the attention to those, to one of them, in this case really the breath and listening, and poof, that arises for everybody. And it was slow enough that ego didn't get to grab it and make it something. Yeah. It paused. And it was moving. You know, it was moving.
Wow. Emotionally.
So, anyway.
Well, since you didn't listen to it, I didn't hear all the workshop. You might not have heard this encouragement.
Okay.
To get a teacup.
I did hear that.
Yeah.
Or have several kinds of
teacups.
I thought that was kind of fun.
Yeah.
It's all different sizes.
Yeah.
Having to work and home. Then it's going to have tea this evening.
And then Brandon, the kids will be going, Mom, it's time to empty your teacup.
I've been watching sweetness and intimacy arise in sitting practice.
Sweetness and intimacy in sitting practice.
Yeah.
Mm.
Just been sitting for a while now. And I had no idea how many beliefs and assumptions were around sitting practice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And with the structure of the schedule, we're encouraged to sit three times a day, which I normally don't do at home. It feels like this renewed calling of the heart to sit.
Mm-hmm.
And this excitement and anticipation of just being with oneself in a way where it feels like some of the assumptions and beliefs are dropping away of being a good Zen student, or it's the right thing to do, or I'm going to get something, which has kind of followed me around for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So just being, having this opportunity, it sounds to do more sitting than prior to coming to the monastery.
Right.
And I love that word of just touching into intimacy.
Yeah.
And if this is what you're saying with that, I mean, what arises for me is just to just be present.
Yeah.
And to talk, you know, and sitting in that stillness. And in that intimacy, discovering more, seeing more, seeing the beliefs and assumptions, and just sitting with it.
Yeah, yeah. And it feels like this interconnectedness of practices that has been encouraged in this training period. I've been encouraged to use Making a Change for Good, 30-day retreat. And the intention dropped in, which was connected to the Big Bamboozle of one of the beginning, which will be coming up very soon. But I think it was the very first exercise was distraction. Distraction, distraction, distraction. And the way to practice with that is to set an intention of doing nothing for 10 minutes a day. And I'd forgotten that. I'd done that exercise before arriving at Monastery. Then I dropped that because we were going to work with Making a Change for Good. And then it arose. Wouldn't it be fun to set an intention just to be 10 minutes a day? Or actually, there was an intention to set a morning, afternoon, and evening. Sort of like with the sits, but not during the sits, so outside of it. But now it's kind of that time where, and it there was a time where I'd have to set a lot of reminders to do that.
Uh-huh.
You know, sticky notes or set my watch alarm or other things. And in this practice, I've been recording a lot about it. Maybe that's what I'm hearing. I'm hearing that intention every day. And it just continually drops in with, let's be for 10 minutes. Let's be.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't count the breath.
Mm-hmm.
There's no encouragement to use mantras. I use a lot of mantras sometimes when there's a lot of conversations going on these mantras to derail that, but that 10 minutes has gotten so expansive, mm-hmm. and now it feels like it's come on the cushion.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So that same, that 10-minute time of just being,
right,
where there's no doing involved, no counting breaths, no mantras, no, that it's allowing for this, I mean, it feels like in a way what we come back to first talk about with the breath, but it's allowing for this expansiveness.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's this, would you say it's allowing for acceptance or,
mm-hmm.
and yeah, to just be with. And you find it now, probably, this is my projection, so we'll check it out, that it may be going into other areas. You see it in the city, but I wonder if it's also...
Yes, that's such a great point. It is definitely, it's going into other areas of working meditation or reading and just anything I'm doing. I'm just more aware of that breath.
Yeah.
It's that anchor is there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And
also I project it and I'm like, God, it just seems like great kindness in that to just, to just stop the doing, just being, and then it would seem like that kindness would, expand as well into other areas.
It's interesting you say that, because what has arose in that practice where it's outside of schedule, it is often in the midst of a lot of doing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So I'm busy, really busy, physically active, mm-hmm. and then it arrives, let's be. Mm-hmm. And I drop everything. Mm-hmm. Sort of like in meditation work, there's a lot of activity, a lot of opinions and conversation and beliefs and assumptions about the whole process, and then that gets dropped.
Mm-hmm.
And I find myself in sitting practice just being with the breath.
Mm-hmm.
And at times it's such a contrast, as a contrast of being very actively busy and then also just being.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then what is arising in that being is intimacy with this being that I haven't felt so deeply before, and this love and sweetness for this person who's willing to just hear that call.
Mm-hmm.
Like last night, it was interesting. We had a busy day. It was a busy day. Up earlier, and the schedule was different, so was in a way, just wasn't in a regular flow and rhythm that I'd been used to. And the conversation was, as soon as dinner's done, straight to bed. We're exhausted.
Mm-hmm.
And dinner was done, and I'm in this meditational sitting.
Mm-hmm.
Bypassed that conversation. It just didn't mean a thing. Didn't have anywhere to land. Didn't fall anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
The call of the heart was, we're going to go sit
mm-hmm.
and be with this person
mm-hmm.
and express gratitude for everything that was given that day.
Mm-hmm.
It was such a big day.
Mm-hmm.
It was so heart-opening.
Yes.
And there I'm sitting, going against that conversation that says we're too tired or sick.
Yeah.
And we weren't.
But just what you're talking about is, and sitting and just being in touch with the kindness, what I just saw was like getting in touch with what's authentic.
Yeah.
So in the sitting still, all that stuff gets to drop away, and that authenticity is just there.
Yeah.
And it sounds like that was your experience. Conditioned mind is sending the message, gotta get home and get to bed.
Yeah.
And yet authenticity steps into the hall and sits still out of gratitude.
Yeah.
And to just, wow. Yeah.
Yeah, just it was spoken about yesterday towards the end of the workshop, which is a bit of a con for me so far. Facing the Buddha, being the Buddha, this form is divine, and is part of all divinity.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
That's big. It's like it's way too big for conditioned mind, obviously.
And that it's not too big for the heart, because that's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
You know, the Buddha walked into the hall.
The Buddha walked into the hall. And the Buddha faced the wall.
Yeah.
And counted the breaths. Yeah. I remember the guide saying, at times, she said, all I want to do is sit. All I want to do, and it's sort of like sitting is can just really risen up in my awareness. So,
yeah.
You know, this morning I haven't sat once in my hermitage. I have my cushion in there. I haven't sat once. And this morning woke up, did some recording, a little bit of listening, and without a conversation, because it's always that conversation where the beliefs and the assumptions about sitting arise, we're facing the wall sitting. We just found ourselves like, oh, we're sitting. Isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm. Just noticing.
Just noticing we're sitting. Mm-hmm. We're sitting in our hermitage, facing the wall, counting the breath, just being. Mm-hmm. It's really beautiful.
I just was reminded too of, you know, gratitude wants to give.
Mm-hmm.
And so there is that giving back to life, you know. Thank you. Thank you, life.
Right.
You know?
Thank you, life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
We didn't talk already.
I was just watching in group, just resistance to being in group. We'll just say it's ego's resistance to being in group. And it seems like a pattern that happens. So there's a story that I don't like how I'm feeling, and it's like this, it's an agitation. It feels like a combination of a lot of energy and like grogginess at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm just watching the stories go on, trying to explain why I feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, you know, you just had this huge, expansive, you know, workshop yesterday and this trip down to the Bay Area, and that was awesome. And this is what happens after those. You just have these drop-offs, you know. And then there's like the explanation, and who knows? Not now. That has nothing to do with now, but it's an explanation of something that happened previously. And then it goes into, well, later when you get to run, you'll get that body will get the exercise you didn't get exercised in.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized both of those things have not. It's a leaving of the person in their experience right now.
Mm-hmm.
And just how my whole life has been like that.
Yeah.
Here's an experience, and then it immediately goes into a conversation about,
yeah.
Well, I don't even know if I actually get to the actual experience.
This is what I was talking about earlier. You don't even need a mom there. I mean,
yeah.
It's just wanting to fix the whole thing, you know, figure it out, and, you know.
Yeah,
you
yeah. Know. And then, of course, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
And it's not meant to work, because then it keeps me in that same dissatisfaction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm still not feeling
yeah.
how I want to feel after, even after those conversations.
Yeah.
Well,
you know, we've got it all figured out.
We got it all figured
I'm
out.
Still not feeling
it. Well, I mean, we'll just have to get through
yeah.
whatever it is
yeah.
to something later,
mm-hmm.
As if somehow this is a deficient moment. Yeah, gosh. I just felt like I don't know what it was, like a sad anger, like no, we're not going to keep leaving the moment because ego says something
yeah.
because of its own dissatisfaction. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I project that maybe there's like this anger of being robbed.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You
yeah.
don't get to do that.
Yes, thank
yeah.
you for putting words to that. Being robbed, exactly. Yeah, and it's just so great to be held by this group of folks who are practicing awareness.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what better place to be? And the talk about the breath is so inspiring. And while it was being talked about, saying counting at the end of the exhalation, I was practicing that and realizing that I don't do that. Uh-huh. It starts towards the end.
Yes.
It doesn't do it at the end, and that's very different.
Yeah.
It's like, because I just noticed the counting at the end of the exhalation highlights the gap.
Exactly.
And I'm like, wow, and I just heard someone talking yesterday about how great it would be to have the guide come in and do guide us on meditating, and we would come in as if we've never meditated before. Because as I was saying also, just how many attitudes and assumptions I have about meditation.
Yeah.
And then I hear somebody talking about their work with the breath and awareness and attention, and it's like, it just reminds me that that so much is possible. Mm-hmm. That I'm likely coming into meditation just in a little, at least at times, if not a lot of times, under beliefs and assumptions mm-hmm. about meditation mm-hmm. and what it is and who I am and what the breath is. Mm-hmm. It's just so great to hear the people, because it highlights that there's assumptions and beliefs
yeah.
and conditioned patterns in meditation, and I wasn't aware of that. I wasn't paying attention to that.
Yeah. It's again just the advantage of being the Sangha.
Yeah. Oh my
and,
gosh.
You
yeah.
know, to just have a renewed invitation to look at meditation and and realizing that maybe we're falling into that, not coming from beginner's mind, with the meditation, mm-hmm. that there's maybe a possible, a lot of beliefs and assumptions unexamined,
yeah.
mm-hmm. And to just have that shook up mm-hmm. in group to say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I just realized the doorway to being shook up was the thing I was noticing at the beginning, which I was being robbed at the moment,
uh-huh.
and to just be here the best I could, using the breath and really listening to people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I was able to, take in the gifts that people were offering in the group today.
Yeah.
And that's so great, because that is the opposite of being robbed. It is the receiving
right.
of the gifts that are always here.
Right.
And just, that's really... just love how it just says, oh, this isn't a good group for you, or
yeah.
you know how this day is going to go, and it's just like, that's just a veneer, it's just uh-huh. a pretend, means nothing, it's a veil of just all the amazing stuff that life is all the time.
Yeah.
It's just underneath that, you just need the support of Sangha and the practice that we've been doing to just, the veil just kind of starts to flitter or burn away or wash away or however you want to. And there it is, life and all its gifts.
Yeah, and the fact that veil is such an illusion, and that it's actually all being taken in. It sounds like, as you're describing it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all landing.
Yeah. Awareness is always present.
Yeah, awareness is always present. Yeah.
Oh gosh, I'm just laughing. There's a point in the group where I'm like, how many people are in the group? How much time is there? If they talk long enough, it's going to be enough time, and I'm going to have to talk. Wow. I mean, that's what ego is doing. Like, how do I not do what I'm doing right now? How do I keep the person from putting up his hands and being in touch with what awareness has been receiving the whole group?
Yeah. Wow, that's so big. And I think you just got a lot of laughs because we all, we all know that. It's just such a tired old story.
Yeah.
And it's just so refreshing when someone says it out loud.
Mm-hmm.
And we all get to see, oh my God, yeah. Mm-hmm. And if that story doesn't have to hold.
Story doesn't hold it. It's a good reminder to me that there'll be a standard of sharing in group,
mm-hmm.
and you can always just talk about what you're experiencing right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Not something I've been looking at and all these things that goes on for me, and is it really important?
Yeah.
Just what's actually happening right now.
Boy, that's such a good point. I mean, I've seen that, We have a practice of doing daily process texts.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, that can become that same sort of thing. Like, looking all day for a really great process. Instead of just like, well, what's happening right now?
What's happening right now?
I don't have to carry on that day.
I think we're getting a lot of laughs.
So, anyway, I know, you know, it's always just refreshing when that... and that truth is just said, and you know, it's just
what a transformation. I have the energy's free, the agitation's gone.
Yeah.
Woo! Day, let's go.
Yeah, and I suspect that we all have a bit of that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I just. The power of Sangha, all of that was going on here too, all of it, you know. And I just love that that training in what's going on here now.
Yeah.
It really feels like that, like unconditional love, right? Mm-hmm. Like unconditional listening, like getting really deeply here with the human.
Really deeply here with the human in this moment. It's not necessary to have to, you know, manufacture some reason for being, you know?
Yes.
Some deserving for attention.
It really, because it's like I can feel sometimes there's like an edge of like listening to what's going on with the human with an agenda, like a push, that karma to push, like, okay, so you're feeling like this now, but you are going to be able to do that thing later, right? You know, it's like, and to just listen and listen and listen and, like, kind of listen through that so you can kind of feel that fall away and just, like, feel that hand on the back, like, here, what's going on here now?
Mm-hmm.
It's okay, there's nowhere to get to drop that, or to let that push go.
Boy, talk about an enormous act of generosity, kindness, unconditional love.
I've seen that too with, it feels really connected with, like, really getting to see the egocentricity of dissatisfaction, you know, that turning to life and saying, oh, I didn't really get enough from you today.
Yeah.
And seeing that, how, like, self-hate is that process of dissatisfaction turned, you know, towards the human, and somehow, like encountering this belief and assumption that that's okay, right?
Yeah.
That it's like turning to this form and saying, oh, I didn't really get enough from you today, you didn't really perform well enough, you know? And as if that's somehow different from any other process of dissatisfaction, right?
Yeah.
As if it's not this in life.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, it's not dizzy mind to just turn the attention on this person and say, well, I hope you get it together tomorrow. I hope you can get it together by, you know, didn't do so good today, and we'll work on this, and we've got our to-do list, and we've got our, you know, really, what a dizzying of life.
There was an amazing clip in a workshop yesterday from a film about the life of Zen Master Dogen that we got to watch. Oh, it was so beautiful. But there was a monk training, and she was saying, there is no Buddha within, and the Zen Master was saying, you know, this is dangerous territory, right? I can't film, but what I heard was, you know, like, perhaps dissing the Buddha within, you know. We need to learn to be able to face the Buddha within. And it was an amazing to see it up there. And it was like an experience of, I've never felt before at that level how impersonal it is. You know, seeing these people
speaking Japanese with the subtitles, and the subtitles were saying exactly things that, you know, I hear myself, it's like, wow, it's completely impersonal.
Completely.
And the process of transformation is completely impersonal. And it's just such a gift to get to see that.
Yeah, as you were saying that, it was just like, you know, that facing the Buddha within, and who's giving us information that what is and isn't the Buddha?
Right.
You know, it's all the Buddha. You know, whatever we find within is all the Buddha.
Yes.
Nothing is separate from that.
Yeah.
Nothing needs to be fixed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what would have the arrogance to think it knows what is and isn't the Buddha?
Yeah. Well, that procrastination, I know, you know, we got to fix that.
It's all helping us wake up.
Yeah.
Yeah.